Hey everyone, and welcome to But That's Just My Opinion, the podcast hosted by me, Matt Lantrip,
and me, David Navarro,
where we interview people about any opinion they have on any topic of their choice. So today you're going to get...
Do you want to take that again? That was really bad.
Why?
I'm just messing with you.
Was it?
It was great.
Oh.
No. Perfect.
Well, now I'm self-confident.
Self-confident? Good. Today we're talking about...
Now self-conscious. See, that's what you did to me. You even made my self-consciousness bad.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm tired.
Good morning, listeners. Today we're doing...
Just a two-person episode, just me and David.
Right. Getting back to the format.
And I had this idea a couple weeks ago. There's always something that we're maybe not so much ashamed, because I don't think it's a shame thing when it comes to this, but something we all kind of hide and keep to ourselves. That's our own little guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I think shame has a certain part of it. I think there's I think a guilty pleasure implies two things. One, the pleasure part, it implies that we enjoy the thing, right? Obviously. The guilt, I think, can either give, like, these ideas of shame of, like, yeah, we're ashamed to like this thing, so guilty pleasure. But I like to think of it as, it's we know we shouldn't. And yes. That's what makes it a guilty pleasure. It's like yes. In the same way that, like...
It's probably why you feel guilty for liking it.
Exactly, because you know you're not supposed to like it. So it's like when, like, grown adults like My Little Pony. That might be like a guilty pleasure for some people. Maybe not anymore because there's like a community around it. And so they feel like they should like it. But without the brony community, you might look at that as being like, yeah, that's just a guilty pleasure they have.
I saw something. I was listening to something the other day and they were doing like a defense of the bronies, but it wasn't like the typical defense.
What was the defense?
This is going to be real bad. They're all autistic. And okay. So it's hard for them to make eye contact, so they watch something about having friends and big eyes, so it's easy for them to make eye contact.
You know,
and
that actually doesn't make that much not sense. Like it kind of
makes
holds
sense.
Up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing with Minecraft too, right? Like Minecraft really works well with kids with autism.
Oh yeah, because you're building everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a really like advanced Lego essentially. And so yeah, there's this whole movement of like autism and Minecraft. Like Minecraft is really blown up within just the autism community.
I haven't played Minecraft, so I did not know that.
Oh, I mean, I love Minecraft, and I think a lot of people who engage with Minecraft.
So does my 5-year-old nephew.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's one of those things that, like, you can really get into and have a lot of fun with. Like, we used to play me, Christian, Peter, Jeff, a bunch of, like, college graduates would sit around and drink beer in our, you know, respective apartments and play Minecraft together.
I still build Legos sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's fun. But, like, it definitely strikes harder in the autistic community. Same thing with I'm assuming, My Little Pony.
Because it's just like the big eyes and friendship and things are right in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Even there's some movies every once in a while that come out that people are like, oh, this is a movie made for autism or for autistic peoples. All that being said,
this is not a podcast about autism.
But it is an interesting point on bronies. But I think the idea of the guilty pleasure is we know we shouldn't like it and we do. So
yes.
Well, I think the one that listeners are probably already imagining I have is I have a guilty pleasure with bad movies.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure it's a guilty pleasure because you outright... That's the thing. I don't think for a guilty pleasure you can... If you come outright and just say it, I don't think it's a guilty pleasure. I think that's something you just... It's just something you like. A guilty pleasure is something you don't really want to talk about with other people.
Maybe there's a certain taboo some people have about their guilty pleasure, but I know that I shouldn't like bad movies.
And as much as you do.
Exactly. And like I have like... And almost like I have a movie fetish for bad movies. Like if there's a really bad movie on Netflix or on HBO, like I will giggle. I'll be like, oh my God, like whoever I'm sitting with, like, Taylor, let's watch this really bad movie, please. And she'll be like, no, I don't want to watch a shitty movie. And like, cause I know I shouldn't want to.
Yeah.
I know that I should be like, oh yeah, let's watch, you've never seen The Sixth Sense. Let's watch that. That's a fantastic movie. Let's catch up.
That's a whole different topic. If she hasn't seen that.
Well, I mean, you know, Taylor has the movies that she's seen, the movies she hasn't seen, and I'm trying to learn to not judge her for those things because she has pointed out to a number of times that like when she hasn't seen The Matrix and she told me she didn't see The Matrix or she hadn't seen The Matrix and I guffawed. I was like, oh my God, could you have not seen The
Matrix? You're a terrible person.
Yeah, and then like she was like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. And I was like, oh yeah, good point. I can see why that would not make you feel good. So we ended up having this discussion of like, okay, so I'll try and stop guffawing. And then she started doing it to me now and again, just like poke fun at me, which I think is adorable. But yeah, there's like this whole thing of like I will pressure people into watching bad movies with me.
I mean, I'm trying to do a separate podcast based on watching bad movies and like trying to fix the bad movies, and no one will like actively go out and do it with me.
Because I'll do it.
Oh, I know you would, and I know that like I'm trying to get like Dennis and Christian, and like they're sort of interested, and like I try to get my roommate Caleb to like do an episode. Just as like a pilot situation, and he just was like, I'm not going to watch this shitty movie. Like, I'm not going to do it with you. And I was just like, oh, come on, dude. And it was Passengers. We're trying to watch Passengers together. And he's like, I won't do it. And I watched it in 1 week. I watched it like 3 or 4 times. And like everyone, I mean, Taylor and you made fun of me on this podcast about having listened to that or watched a movie 4 times. And Taylor was saying that I secretly love that movie. And it's like, I do have a guilty pleasure for that movie being bad.
Or loving Sausage Party as much as you do.
Well, there's a whole other situation. Sausage Party is actually pretty good.
Okay, well, then we won't move on. Then that's a different. That's more of a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I'm allowed to like Sausage Party. So I don't think it's a guilty pleasure. But I definitely think like in music, for instance, I think a lot of people's music taste can dip into guilty pleasures.
Exactly. Especially with like what I like, because I like a lot of, you know, punk rock and, you know, hard rock, some metal. And then I guess kind of my guilty pleasures tend to lean into some of the pop music that's out there.
Yeah, but you also listen to country.
Well, I listen to a certain country. I don't like a lot of the stuff that's on the radio. If I'm listening to country, I'm put on new guys like, well, not they're not even that new, but they're just kind of booming under the scene, like Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson. I'm trying to think. Those are like my two main guys in country right now. But normally, otherwise, I'll go back and listen to like real old country. Like I have a whole LP, like two thing LP. You remember those like Time Life collections?
Oh yeah.
I have an LP of that. It's all the top country songs from 1952.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. But so awesome, it's like really old Willie, we're like Patsy Cline, like a bunch of, you know, a couple old Johnny Cash.
I think country specifically, like a lot of people have like a guilty pleasure of country, or people like just sell out hard into country. But like what's the pop stuff that you have guilty pleasures about?
There's a couple Luke Bryan songs if you want to go pop country that I like. Eric Church, but he's kind of more like that. He's always kind of been more rock country anyways. So that doesn't really count. But like the real poppy stuff, I have to admit, every once in a while Taylor Swift writes a real good song. She doesn't write it, but someone writes a real good song for her.
She has an album with a really solid song. Yeah. What are you trying to say?
Yeah. But I think the main one, and this is, some people know this.
He's getting real nervous.
Yeah, I am, because I haven't mentioned this in so long. Kesha.
Okay, that's not that bad.
It's not just one or two songs.
It's all of it?
It's most of it.
See, but here's the thing.
Because I'm just like, dude, this is just about, I mean, most of it's about like partying and doing, like just being rant, whatever. Right. But there, I don't know, there's something about the poppiness, and I'm just like, dude, I would be like front row for this concert. Like,
right. No. What's so funny is you were just, before we started recording this, you were saying how, I'm not really sure that I have one.
Yeah, I said I had one.
But then you are hung up right now. Like, you were nervous. Yeah, because
this is my only one.
Well, here's...
It's a weird one for me.
I don't think it's that weird. I mean, like my guilty pleasure musically when I was growing up for sure was Miley Cyrus, and like even like when I was like 19, 20, and like Party in the USA started coming out, like that album, I was just like, oh yeah, man, that's my jam.
I have that as me and my buddy. We listen to that song all the time, just kind of more ironically, and it was more of like a joke because we would just sing it really loud in the car to annoy whoever was with us.
So you're just a hipster,
kind of, but it was more just like a funny joke between us.
Okay. For sure.
It was literally me and my best friend just having an inside joke.
I used to complain about that song because there's a line in it of hop off the plane at LAX and, you know, da 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 da. And then it's like driving to town and the Hollywood sign is on my right is the line.
That means she's coming from Pasadena, Glendale.
Yeah, exactly. Like she's not coming from LAX then.
No, you are not coming from the west side there, Miley.
Yeah, like what, Miley. Miley Cyrus, you from North Hollywood. Like, I know where you're generally from. Like, don't... What are you doing? Like,
to go
you
to
know
work,
where I'd LAX go... is, and you know where the Hollywood sign is. It's on your left.
Like, to go down... If anyone knows LA, I have to go down Gower for work every day, and I can see the Hollywood sign in my rearview mirror.
Right.
You know that is, like, 30 miles from LAX.
Exactly. Well, also, but if you are driving from LAX into Hollywood, the Hollywood sign would still be on your left. Like, there's no way to get it onto your right, because you're going east.
No way.
It's so silly. And I would
such a weird critique of
it. But it was one of those things, like, I heard the first time and like I was like, wait a second, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? And like I started talking about it with my friends and they were like, what are you doing? Like, why do you care about Miley Cyrus lyrics? And I was like, well, dude, there's an inconsistency. Like, I just don't think that Miley Cyrus really thought it out when she was writing that lyric.
If she wants people to come to LA and look at the Hollywood sign, they're going to be looking to their right.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work. They have to come through Burbank to look to their right.
Yeah, it's going to be great. They're going to be sitting there looking to the right and just seeing like
Long Beach.
Yeah. And Orange County and Anaheim. Like they're not going to see it.
Yeah. One way you got Disneyland.
They'll have to turn around and then they'll be right there on the fucking mountain that they're standing in front of.
Coming through Burbank and the song's correct.
Yeah. No. So it could have been Top Off the Planet, Bob Hope. And then that'd make more sense because then she could. And also it would make more sense because she lives in North Hollywood.
Yeah,
or at least she did. Like, I'm fairly, if I'm not mistaken, I remember hearing that she and her family, like, when she was in the Billy Ray Cyrus household, that was in NoHo.
Yeah, I can see
it
that.
It sounds creepy now that I feel like I know where her family is from.
Well, that's the thing in LA. Everyone kind of knows, like, where people are and where they grew up. It's but like, also, oh, yeah, that person's in Hollywood Hills.
Right, like, but also I'm from NoHo, so like, it was one of those things of, like, oh, we have celebrities in NoHo. It's like all these people.
It's more than just the Arts District.
Yeah, hey, I mean, when I was growing up, the Arts District was gross. Like, it was grody, yeah. And we stayed away from it. Like, we still had bars in our windows, you know what I mean? Like, it was a scary neighborhood.
There are definitely still places like that in North Hollywood.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there are some nice pockets. Anyway, what are you talking about North Hollywood?
I don't know.
Guilty pleasure.
North Hollywood's my guilty pleasure. I just love it.
You know, there's actually a hot dog place that is kind of my guilty pleasure there.
Cupid's?
No, Vicious Dogs. It's a little hot dog joint.
Okay.
Yeah, food's another one.
Food, yeah, like, well, what's your music guilty pleasure?
Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
still.
Yeah.
Like, if you put on a Miley Cyrus song, I'm jamming right with it.
You a big Bangers fan?
Bangers?
That's whatever her last album was.
No. Like, I'm talking, like, pre going crazy Miley Cyrus.
Pre-Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, like, 17-year-old and younger Miley Cyrus.
So, Hannah, almost so creepy. Just
yeah,
out
Hannah Montana
of,
era. Yeah, just outside the Hannah Montana
weird.
Era.
Now that's real weird.
Well, that was what I was, you know, when I was growing up, there was one of those things of, like, you know, it was like SpongeBob for some reason I loved growing up. And then maybe I am autistic, but like I used to love SpongeBob.
You haven't looked at me in the eyes once.
That's true. That's because your eyes are terrifying and black today. I don't know why. There's no pupil.
Or is it all pupil?
But we used to like watch SpongeBob and then we'd like, you know, watch a dumb movie or something like Hot Fuzz. I think I watched Hot Fuzz like 30 times.
Well, that's a great movie.
Right, but to us it was just hilarious because it was just like so crazy and like outlandish.
Yeah.
You know, it was our first real Edgar Wright dip. And so like we'd be into that kind of shit. And then I'd turn around and be like, oh, I'm gonna listen to the new Miley Cyrus album when I turned 18. It's like, yeah, Party in the USA, for sure, dude. And then like Can't Be Tamed, I was all about that. Like
I don't even know that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was the one where she did the music video in the Birdcage.
Nope.
See, I also had like this mild celebrity crush. Like when I was 18, 19, I was like, Miley Cyrus, my celebrity crush for sure.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like there's also like that. And I knew then, I was like, this is such a guilty pleasure. Like I know I shouldn't even have like the celebrity crush of Miley Cyrus. Like
especially at 18.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was 18 when I was 18. like we're the same age. I think she might be a year younger than me.
Well, I'm like the same age as you. So.
Yeah, so she's I mean she's our age. You know what I mean? Like she's it's not like she was a weird, like, 14-year-old when I was 18. It's not like I'm a creeper. Mm. I'm, you know, I had, like, a... It was a totally legal celebrity crush, if we're going to be getting into to you trying to imply something about me. But, no, like, I definitely had that, like, guilty pleasure of enjoying... And, like, even now and again, like, if I was, like, flipping through the channels and Hannah Montana was on, I'd leave it on. I knew it was bad. I wasn't sitting there being like, you know, this is actually a really underrated TV show. People should watch this. Like,
how does no one know it's the same person?
Yeah. It's like that really explains like the dichotomy of personality versus like who you really are inside. Like there's this really deep metaphor in there.
I was like, forced to see the Hannah Montana movie by a couple of my friends in high school.
Oh, see, I've never seen the Hannah Montana movies.
It's honestly the only Hannah Montana thing I've ever seen. Was I was two of my friends who were girls in high school, like forced me to go one day when I was hanging out with them.
Yeah, I mean, I was forced to watch all the Twilight movies growing up, and like I had to read all the Hunger Games. You know, my first couple years in college, because like
had to read the Hunger Games.
Yeah, like okay, so
well, the Hunger Games books I heard from like a lot of guys. They're like, no, these things are actually pretty brutal.
Yeah, I mean they're brutal, but they're not good. But
young adult novels tend not to be.
When I was growing up, I hung out with a lot of ladies, and that kind of translated when I started going to college, that like a lot of my girlfriends like hung out with me still, and like I still like was primarily seeing them. And so yeah, like Hunger Games made the rounds through, you know, college age kids for a while. Yeah, so it was one of those things that like it hit all of them, and then they made me read, and I was like, okay, I'll read them. And like, they're not good, but like there's a small guilty pleasure in me. Like I have a small guilty pleasure for really bad young adult movies. Like, have you seen the, not the Hunger Game, what's the one about running? The Maze Runner. Oh my God.
I think I saw the first one.
Here's the thing. The first one's got a really cool premise, and it's got a really cool concept, and it actually kind of works.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad.
No, not at all. I mean, like, it's not great. It's a
solid B.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even call it guilty pleasure. You know what I mean? I'd just be like, yeah, you're allowed to be, you know, interested in that movie to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I didn't even watch it until it came out, like, on demand.
Yeah, like, I caught it on something, you know, like HBO or some bullshit. Maybe HBO. Anyway, so, like, you know, maybe a few years later, they came out the second one, Scorch Trials or whatever it was. Scorch Trials is real bad. I mean, real bad. And I was sitting there just like watching, and I was just like, oh my God, this is awful. I was like, I wanted to like punch myself in the face for a while. And then like, I was talking to like, I mean, it was garbage. It was like super hot garbage, but I watched every minute of it because it was just like, oh my God, bad young adult movie is like such a hilarious thing to me. And like, I went and saw, what's the Divergent series?
Divergent, Insurgent, Detergent?
Yeah, exactly. So I saw the second part of the third movie in theaters, like opening weekend, with my roommate who I dragged to go see it with me. I hadn't seen any of the other ones.
You must have been so confused.
It was. Like, we hadn't seen any of them. We just, like, sat down in this movie.
That's like only watching the last Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, exactly. And being
like, were all these just slow-mo fight montages the entire time? Like,
who are these people? Also, is he a wizard? He's a what?
Well, there's a difference between wizardry and sorcery.
Yeah, so young adult, like, bad movies is like a certain subsect of like that is a little more guilty. Like, I know that I shouldn't have any interest there, but for some reason I still do. Like, I still like watching those really bad movies. The book's less so, unless it's John Green. If it's John Green, he did like Fault in Our Stars and Looking for Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John Green writes really, really good young adult novels.
Well, those are like character pieces, like coming. Those are almost like John Hughes in a novel.
Yeah, they're just geared towards, you know, 15 to 18-year-olds, you know, yeah. 13 to 15. You know, they're like geared towards the younger audience. I still enjoy the heck out of them. You know what I mean? Like, I'll pick those up and just be like, oh, yeah, okay, let me get through this. And they're solid because he's just a good writer.
I get that.
Uh-huh. What about video games? Is there like a guilty pleasure video game? Can you have a guilty pleasure video game?
I think so.
Or would it have to be like a My Little Pony game?
See, that's the thing. It'd have to be like those, like, remember those old Barbie games on like PlayStation 1? It'd have to be something like that. But I don't know. I don't play enough video games, I think, to really have a guilty pleasure video game. I guess.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I love any form of platformer. So okay. There could sometimes people be like, dude, this is just a bad game. And I'm like, it's a platformer. I love it. honestly, like any platformer you put in front of me, I'll try to beat it. Like, I don't know why. I just love them all. But there's one. It's weird because it's like, I know I should just get a PS4 to get the regular MLB game. Mm-hmm. But I have this like weird Japanese baseball game that's like cartoon characters that I got for it came with like Xbox Gold one month.
And you love it?
I can't stop playing it. It's so much fun. And it's like, there's still a bunch of pitches. There's so many different types of pitches. You know, uh-huh. You still got to swing. I mean, yeah, it's not quite precise and I can just jack home runs half the time.
Right. But there's a little bit of depth.
A little. Yeah. I mean, there is some. And like, you know, they still have like, it's like the mechanics to like a 60% that you get on like uh-huh. MLB The Show. But for some reason, I just can't stop playing it. Wow. It's like one of my favorite games.
Madden 17 might be my guilty pleasure right now because I'm still playing it and I'm still playing a franchise that I've been playing the entire year.
Well, that's how you've always been with every single Madden game.
Yeah, I mean, that might be, but like here's the point that I'm at. I'm at the point in the game where I don't really need to do anything more. I have like six Super Bowls in a row on entirely simmed seasons. Like, I have a perfect, I have like a 96 overall team. I like my running back has like a total of like 17,000 career rushing yards.
Jeez.
And like, and that's just cause like, I really like the drafting mechanic. And so I just draft, I just like trade all my picks away and like get really good players and like end up with like seven or eight players that are all like superstar level players, but throughout the draft. And then just like, well, those are all rookies that are now going to, you know, be my backups for the next 4 years until they become starters. So it's like, I just, at this point, I don't even have to play the game. I just sim through all the games and I still end up with like, you know, 15-1 record.
Jeez.
It's just, it's stupid. And I still play through the whole goddamn thing.
It's like that soccer game. I'm not sure if you've seen it, where you're literally just the manager of the soccer team. You don't actually play.
Well, hey, I'm a real big fan of that, like, game style mechanic. In fact, when I played NCAA forever, and I mean, you know how much I used to love NCAA. I actually bought a PS3 again just so I could play NCAA.
I think I still have mine.
Yeah, I have a PS3 in my room just in case if I want to ever play NCAA again. Because,
well, you can come over because we have the one that you got.
Oh, yeah, I got you NCAA 1 year. That's right.
And it's backwards compatible.
Right, for the Xbox One now.
Yeah.
That's dope. Because they're not making NCAA anymore.
Thanks, Snoop Dogg.
Did he do that?
He's like, when they announced backwards compatibility, he was on Twitter. He's like, first game, NCAA. And he loves that game.
And they're not doing them anymore.
No, they aren't. Well, I mean, because of all the stupid.
But I like, I can just sit there and just like, okay, I'm going to take the one star, like Georgia Bulldog, not the one star, Georgia Bulldog, the one star, what's the Georgia Panthers?
Something like that. Yeah,
the Georgia Panthers, one star recruits, like just nothing. I'm going to build this franchise. And it's like within like 3 years, I'm like, you know, five stars. I'm just getting like every top recruit. Like it just doesn't even matter.
I did that with the USC. My tight end won the Heisman twice.
Yeah, I mean, like that's just
a tight end winning the Heisman, because there's one play in that game that's super broken, and so it's like a tight end doing like a post route, and you can just hit it, and he'll just get at least 15 yards every play.
Even,
he scored all my touchdowns.
See, even that play is kind of a guilty pleasure, right? You know you shouldn't break the game,
but I can, and I like winning Heismans with
my move is on the Georgia Panthers. In their, I think it's like their like ace back formation, they have like a power run that is always good for like between 3 and 5 yards. It's a power run, and you know, if, as long as you read your block, you get a few yards. And then there's this concept where you can link two plays together, and if a play has like a play action version of it, every time you gain yards on it, you build into like this meter effectively. And then once you play the play action play, and you like you fake the handoff, everyone bites on it. And so there's in that same setup. There's a play action off that same play where the wide receiver on the right side just streaks at the field. And so the safety always bites, you know, after you get like 15, 20 yards off the same play running it over and over again, he'll bite on it and then you just throw it over the top.
And instant touchdown.
And so my problem is I had a receiver who would have like 1,800 yards in like in a season, in a 12-game season, and like 17 to 20 touchdowns. And it was just like, it was gross. It was every season my quarterback would have like a ton of yards and just have, you know, it was just dumb. And then like I would do the Minutemen, the Boston, Massachusetts Minutemen, which is another one-star team. And I would just abuse the shit out of their run offense. They have like, if you start off the game, I think their third string quarterback has like 87 speed or something, which is like for NCAA, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And so I would just run the read option with him and a running back, and just my quarterback would be a lead rusher. It was just so dumb. And like I knew I was abusing it, but I was just like, no,
it's
but
too
like,
much
this
fun.
Is so good. Like I'm gonna recruit so many good quarterbacks because of the quarterback stats. Like it's gonna be nuts. I mean, and I know I shouldn't. But I
wanna ask you about this one. I know we talked about it a little bit, but that Pokemon puzzle game.
Oh my god! Yeah, okay. That's a household staple here at the Navarro Royce.
Yeah, but the
Kelly
moment
house.
You tell anyone outside of here, they're like, "Really?"
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
so
Tetris.
Well, it's Tetris Attack. So it's this game called Tetris Attack, where essentially you have two screens. It's you versus a computer, or you versus a person. Yeah, it's not Tetris though, and it's like a match four game where you have to like swap blocks and you have to like make them fall in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
But the version we have for the Wii is the Pokemon version. It's called Pokemon Puzzle Attack. And it's basically just Tetris Attack. And it's kind of on steroids because of how difficult it can be. But like for a while, and still kind of a little bit, our apartment had like an in-home competition about it, where like we were all competing to see who was better at it. And like we would just like train ourselves and like really practice hard at it. And yeah, kind of a guilty pleasure that I'm sitting here like trying to competitively compete. I'm trying to like really compete in a game of Pokemon Puzzle Attack, which isn't, hey, you know, I mean, like, it's not that much more of a guilty pleasure than when I was really into Pokemon Go. I broke my toe playing Pokemon Go. That's the moment I realized I had to stop playing Pokemon Go, which was a guilty pleasure, I'll admit. Like, we all should have not been playing that much Pokemon Go.
No, we shouldn't have.
But then that one day bad. I was skating in flip-flops, and then, like, I hit a puddle. And,
well, that's
like,
your first problem, and then, skating in flip-flops.
And then I broke my toe doing that. Still kind of screwed up. And, like, then I was looking at my, I was laying on the floor. I was 24 years old. I'm lying on the floor on my back, broken toe, just thinking, what the fuck am I doing with my life? This is not how it's supposed to go. This is not where I'm supposed to be right now. I'm 24.
Yeah, Pokemon Go was definitely one of those things where it's like, I feel like now anyone who still plays it, I'm kind of like, really?
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I definitely think it is now. Yeah. There's still a huge community out there for it.
Oh, yeah. And it started with a lot of hype where everyone was playing it.
Well, because it worked well at first.
No, it didn't. What are you talking about? It was broken constantly.
No, I mean, once they did updates and started taking features away.
Oh, yeah. When they cleaned it up a little bit.
I mean, I wouldn't even say cleaned it up. They're like, we want to make it harder and like more difficult. It's like, no, that's not the point of this.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the point was to go outside and just have people. I got a lot of exercise playing that game.
Yeah, and like I caught my Charizard and I did this. And like I saw so many people running around all the time. I'd go out at like 7 a.m. and start skating around and like see people out playing.
Me too.
And I was just like, this is cool. This is really cool. And like it stopped after a while because I think people started realizing this is a guilty pleasure and I need to stop indulging myself.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of time.
It did. It totally did. Like I would spend like hours chasing down Pokemon.
Yeah, I realized one of my guilty pleasure games I just had recently. I had actually taken it off my phone because it was such like a big game that I couldn't have any other apps pretty much on my phone because it kept like every other time I tried to log in, it would say there wasn't enough storage. It was this WWE game where
I was going to get into this earlier, but I think wrestling might be your guilty pleasure.
No, because I'm way too open about that.
Yeah, and you're too proud of it. But like, yeah, if I were into wrestling, it would be a guilty pleasure.
No, dude, I have multiple shirts. I'm talking about it all the time. Uh-huh. No, wrestling, I watch it at work. Like, I don't care.
But I feel like that could be people's guilty pleasure.
Definitely are some people out there, but I'm not just like, oh, I just watch WWE and I keep it secret. It's like, no, dude, I know indies. I know like UK stuff, like. There's a lot, but this game, it was essentially Bejeweled, but each time you like made something happen, your guy would like do a move against whoever you were fighting in the ring, and you had to like try to pin people, and so like you'd get like move upgrades, and and I was just always playing that. People were always like, still playing that? I was like, yeah. It was like, I know I shouldn't be playing this as much as I do.
Yeah, I guess that is the perfect guilty pleasure for you.
That and Solitaire.
Solitaire? How is Solitaire a guilty pleasure?
Dude, I can't
playing
stop.
A card game by yourself?
Dude, I play Solitaire.
I have a deck of cards right here. I know for a fact.
That's the thing. I do it on the Facebook Messenger games.
Oh, yeah. I was playing this. Oh, here's a guilty pleasure. I was playing this one called Everwing Legends.
Oh, everyone was on that.
Really?
Dude.
Oh, my God. I felt so alone.
Okay, so one of my fantasy football leagues. When we realized
all the games in there,
there started becoming like a competition between all the games, and everyone on there got obsessed with Everwing for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I was nuts. Like, I would sit there and I'd sneak away from doing other things to play Everwing. Like, I'd go to the bathroom at work and just like, oh, Everwing, yeah, I gotta fucking kill these fucking monsters and my dragons.
Yeah, that I tried it like twice, and it's like, I'm not good, I'm done.
Yeah, it's just a stupid, really bad bullet hell. But like it has dragons and fairies. The worst part is you play as a fairy. So it'd be like, and I'd show Taylor when I got new dragons. I was like, look how cute this dragon is. And she'd be like, aw, you have to stop playing this game. Like, but, and she was like, you just like that you're playing as a fairy, don't you? And I was like, hey, they're finally, warriors.
Finally, your inner self is revealed.
No, I mean, it's a guilty pleasure. It's not really who I am. It's just something that like, it struck me in a way that I didn't want to talk about. Oh, wow, I guess that is kind of who I am then. I wanted to play as a warrior fairy. It's all I wanted to do.
You can do that with D&D.
I can do that with D&D. I used to actually think of D&D as a guilty pleasure. When we first started Nerd Nights is what Will belovingly calls it. Nerd Nights started off as just like we were hanging out in my garage, drinking beer, eating Cheetos, and like playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, for the longest time, D&D was kind of this... And it was, I mean, it was like, if you're playing D&D, you're a super nerd.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've heard it referred to as, or at least it used to be, as the last bastion of nerddom, of like, I'm into World of Warcraft, and like I have posters of Boba Fett on my wall, but at least I don't play Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't think Star Wars, depending on how deep you go on Star Wars, it's just everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you get what I'm getting at there. Like,
yeah,
you
can, no, like, I totally get what you're getting at.
Okay, so how about
I'm
this?
Saying having a Boba Fett poster, I bet you I can find most people with something.
Okay, how about this then? I play World of Warcraft, and I have a Picard poster.
Close, yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, and like, that's nerdy, but like, you're not at the last bastion of nerddom. Or no. Like, I have like 7 Lord of the Rings tattoos, and I have, you know, the entirety of the map of Middle-earth on my wall.
I would say the Middle Earth map, okay, you could just be also like very into books.
Uh-huh.
The tattoos is where it'd be like, all right, that's super nerd.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, Taylor's got like a Gimli tattoo, and the first time I saw that, I was like, nerd, yes, date me.
It worked.
And like, we go to comic book shops all the time, like, hey, you know, like, I love going to the comic book shop, and there's guys there that, you know, that work there that don't play D&D, and I feel like it's the same thing of like, yeah, I work at a comic book shop, and I know everything about most comics in this place, but at least I don't play Dungeons and Dragons. And like, I feel like that movement is slowly dying, and now people are just like, oh, Dungeons and Dragons is like not that nerdy. Like, it's now LARPing is kind of like that far end.
Yes.
At least it's not LARP. Like, I have a weekly D&D game. I write D&D campaigns, and like, I play a lot of video games, but at least I don't LARP.
From a creative writing standpoint, and someone who's into sci-fi and fantasy, I see how it's huge. Oh, yeah.
I mean, wait until we're going to do a D&D episode eventually, and when we do, you're going to play a little bit, and you're going to see how much fun it can be just to be a player.
Played.
Right, but I mean, like, do you play in college? I played in college as well, and that was one thing, but like, now all of a sudden, like, I'm way more into it, just because I started playing it as like a young adult, where like, now I know my taste a little bit better than I did in college. I know what really strikes me, like when to like, oh, I like this a lot, and I know what that feeling looks like. So like, all of a sudden, it kind of opened up to me. It was like, it stopped being just like a game I played, and now it became like the shared storytelling adventure, where I'm going to sit down with 6 of my best friends who I find creative in their own rights, and we're going to sit down and we're going to tell a story together. And they're going to be the characters in my story, or I'm going to be a character in their story.
Yeah.
And like, that element alone is just like so interesting to me. Like, remove all the dice, remove all the character sheets, remove the setting.
It's just a creative writing exercise.
Yeah, it's just a creative writing exercise. And like, that to me like turns me on, that I can make that a really, really fun statistical game.
Yeah.
Like, I dig that. And like, it used to be a guilty pleasure, and now all of a sudden it's like, no, that's just like part of my life. Like, that's a weekly thing I do.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. I mean, that's the weird part, is like, in this day and age, it's kind of harder and harder to have a guilty pleasure, I think.
Because of Reddit. Because you can find your community.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, guilty pleasures kind of used to be a thing where like, you didn't have a community for it, right?
Right, because you couldn't talk about it with people.
Yeah, and now you can talk with the age of the internet. It's kind of just like, everything is out there all the time, and anyone can do it. It's just, I guess, a matter of how much you're willing to share it in the open as compared to behind a keyboard.
Right, but you can also think of it this way, of like our society is getting a little bit more open. Like, we're not like judging people anymore. There's like, the every space is a safe space, Matt.
That's
every space is a safe space.
People still need to be judged to some extent.
Hey, you're not wrong. I mean, if you end up on the show Baggage on Jerry Springer.
Oh, I'm gonna judge you.
Yeah, I'm gonna judge the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You know, you trailer park trash. But like, don't get me wrong, like, there are some things that I still like totally judge people for, and I think everyone still judges people for a lot of things that we still think are like trashy or still like taboo. But like,
half the people that watch the show I work for.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of, and certain things are still taboo. Like, I think if I drive past a trailer park and I see like a fight break out, like, yeah, I judge you for a certain bit. Like, there's still a taboo about living in a trailer park in my life, at least.
Still trailer park or like mobile home park. I'm just like,
I mean, like, there's something a little bit off, and to us, you know what I mean? Like, maybe not to everybody. And like that, I think, I'm not saying like living in a trailer park is your guilty pleasure. That's probably just like a lifestyle that happened to you.
Yeah.
But like, there are certain things within like lifestyle choices, like bronies. Like, we can sit here and bag on bronies, and it's kind of socially acceptable to do so, because it's like, kind of goes against the male bravado to like sit down and watch a kid's show about ponies. But also, there's like a lot of weirdness with the bronies. Like, I don't know if you know about, like, bronies have like a whole pornography setup going.
That's disturbing.
Right, and maybe it's not like every brony sitting there like, oh yeah, of course I look at the brony.
I'm sure most don't.
Pornography. Right, but there is like a subsect, you know, Rule 34, there's porn for everything, right? And so like there is a subsect of that is pornography.
Weirdest rule, and the one thing about the internet, I'm like, really guys, we really had to do that?
Well, here's the thing, Matt. The internet is where people are people. See, day-to-day life, this is where we put on like
I'm not sure if it's where people are people or if where people just allow themselves to give in the things they shouldn't.
I had this thought the other day because of our podcast on with Alex about Batman of like there's some groupthink mentality that is pretty good. Like pretty much across the board, when we're in groupthink mode, we're thinking empathetically and sympathetically. We're caring about people. Well, generally, like if we were to sit here with 20 people and like someone would start to get sick, we would all take care of that person for a moment, right? Or if like someone broke their leg, we would all rally to their defense. If we're on Reddit and someone broke their leg and there's 20 of us, we're going to laugh at that guy, right? Because we're gonna be like, wow, what a fucking moron you are, right? And all of a sudden, because of that individuality and because of that anonymity.
Nope, that's not the word.
The quality of being anonymous. once you're anonymous, it's just like, okay, so now I can just like take off the mask.
Exactly.
And be my true self.
That's the thing. I don't think it's being true self. I think your true self is who you are in front of, I mean, not so much who you are in front of other people, but I think they're your true self. I know everyone's always like, be who you are when no one's watching. It's like, no, that's not a good person most of the time.
Right.
Most of us, that's not the person that you want out in public.
Right.
I don't think the true self is being able to know how what you do also works in society.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing, Matt. It's just like the internet's such a weird. Would you like people to see your search history?
I have a thing about privacy, so regardless of what's on there,
then no, right?
Yeah, my thing is regardless of what's on there, it's none of your business,
right? And like that's totally cool, but like everybody has something that they like don't want people looking around for. Like,
I just don't want anyone looking around anything of mine, regardless of what it is,
which is fair.
Unless like, I put it out there like this podcast, you have no right to anything else.
But there's this large stereotype, at least, of like the search history being a dangerous place to go trekking. It's like one thing bros don't do to bros. You don't check your bros' search history.
Or it's the same thing as like checking people's text messages, regardless of if there's something there.
Yeah,
or not,
absolutely.
You just don't do
it. Well, I'm not saying that you're going around searching people's history for like, let me see if I can get dirt out of this guy.
But no.
Maybe you're looking through something in the history for like specific, like, oh, you know what? I was looking at something the other day. Let me see if I can find it really quickly. Yeah, I mean, like it's one of those things. How are we on this? Why are we talking about search histories? Anyways, all I'm saying is like there are some things that like we are like so guilty pleasured about that we got to keep it like under wraps. That's why a guilty pleasure can be fun to talk about. But then there's also like some guilty pleasures that no one is talking. Like you think bronies are walking around their day to day talking about all their brony stuff?
Well, not to other
maybe
people
not all
that
of them.
Aren't maybe not to people that aren't bronies, but the moment they meet a brony, yes.
Yeah, but there's got to be. I mean, there's got to be like a brony that's teaching at a middle school and like goes home to his wife and like never talks about it until it gets onto Reddit, and then he's on Reddit and he's like, oh yeah, bronies, dude, fucking love bronies, me and my kids watch that together, love this show. I'm like, there are probably people like that, and they can't talk about it in their day-to-day, but like the internet allows them to have that outlet. Like I think Reddit's been huge for the idea of guilty pleasures coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's caused most people not to have guilty pleasures anymore.
Uh-huh.
Unless it's like something real deviant, you know?
Real deviant.
And I think at this point, like, guilty pleasures used to just be like, oh, this would be really weird if all my friends knew I watched this show or liked this music.
Or was into dancing.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
But then now it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, no one really cares what you do in your private life. But there are some things where it's like, that's not healthy mentally, you know?
Right. I mean, I love to dance and sing in public.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's just
to an embarrassing degree.
Well, I mean, that's not a guilty pleasure, though. That's like, that's
just a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because part of it, yeah, like I get a little.
Well, it depends on the situation.
Here's the thing. It is a pleasure. I do enjoy doing it. And part of me knows that I shouldn't be doing it. Like, I shouldn't just be stopping in Walgreens and belting out lyrics to whatever song is playing on the radio.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah, right? Like, I know it's a bit of a guilty pleasure to just, like, screw with the public environment. And just be like, yeah, I'm in a public space, and I'm singing. look at me sing the song I love.
I kind of do that when I'm listening to like real hard music.
Like at the grocery store?
Not so much at the grocery store, but like when I'm driving and like say I'm pulling up into a public space. Well, that's the thing. I love to roll down my windows and just blast like really heavy music.
See, that's a guilty pleasure right there because you know you shouldn't be interrupting other people's life with your fucking music.
Exactly.
That's the worst.
I'm not going to lie. I've driven down bad neighborhoods blasting country before. It was not smart.
I blast music if my windows are up. Because there was a time in my life where I would blast music with my windows down, and like one day I'm just sitting, no radio on, just driving. All of a sudden, some douchebag drove by me listening to his music super loud that was in my car, and I was just like, ugh, what an asshole. And then I was like, wait a second, I do that all the time.
I haven't done it a lot. I haven't done it really at all recently, but like a lot of this stuff used to be like high school and, you know, early college with stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that's. Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure though. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't drive around with your windows
down. I don't
down.
Do it anymore because I had the same experience as you, where it's like, oh yeah, that's really
cool. Shitty thing to do. Yeah. So if I'm blasting music and it's warm outside, hit me with that AC, baby. I ain't rolling down my window. I ain't doing it because I'm gonna be that asshole. Like it's no longer a guilty pleasure. Now it's just a pleasure with no guilt attached because I'm not.
But that's also because you realize how to act in society.
Well, yeah, but also
you understood what you don't like, and when you do it to someone else, you know, it's the golden rule. Right, act how you want to be treated, you know. So it's kind of more that than a guilty pleasure.
Touche. But I still think, I still knew even when I was doing it. There was a part of me that knew, and knew that I shouldn't be doing it, but I loved it anyway. And I loved that I could drive by and be like, "Hey, listen to the music I'm listening to, huh? What do you think about that? What do you think about this new Eminem album from 5 years ago? Yeah? You like that?"
It's not new at that point.
Well, yeah, but I'm like 5 years ago it was, and that's when I was doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
When the new like Childish Gambino album came out a couple years ago, I'd be driving around and, "Hey, you ever heard of this shit?"
And everyone under the age of 30 would be like, "Yes."
Yeah, now can you please turn it down? Like, I'm having a conversation with my wife on this corner of the street. Like, we were walking to the grocery store.
We all love Donald Glover. Just go away for a minute.
Yeah, stop being an asshole. Similarly, like, "Make America Great" trucker hats. Is that a guilty pleasure?
I don't think so.
No?
Why is make... Do you mean, like, in the sense that there's, like, joke ones?
Yeah, I mean,
like, and most of those hats aren't trucker hats. I mean,
dad hats. But, like, all of, like, that whole movement of, like, parodying them and just, like, saying things to each other snarkily with hats.
I think that was... I mean, that's been around forever. Think about all the stupid t-shirts you used to own.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, it's one of those things, though, that's like it's interrupting my day-to-day. Like, if I go to In-N-Out and I have to see, like, five dudes walk in with, like, "Make America Great Again" hats, and I'm just like, man, this is, like, not political space until you guys walked in.
That's different, though. But that's the thing. You're also making it political because they're just wearing a hat, and they probably don't.
But they're wearing a political hat. I'm sitting there having a hamburger. I look around, now all of a sudden I see all these, I'm confronted by these images and these thoughts, and it's just like, I didn't want that in my headspace. I want a burger.
But at the same time, are those people coming up and be like, "Let me tell you what Donald Trump's best"? No, they're not doing that. I don't know why I went to a Southern accent, and I know plenty of people who voted for Trump that have different accents.
But isn't that the like the culturally, or like the apparel equivalent of...
Like a bumper sticker?
Well, not quite a bumper sticker, but the apparel equivalent... Yeah, that's weird because it's trying to like not say parallel. The apparel equivalent of blasting your radio while driving down the street.
I think it's a little different.
I don't know.
I think you should be able to wear a hat. I mean, you're...
Abrasively political hat.
It's only abrasively political because you make it to yourself abrasively political.
I mean, definitely like my viewpoint, my stance on the hat is definitely like part of it. Of like, oh yeah, okay, I see this hat as being abrasively political.
But blaring music...
Is just, yeah, is, I guess you're right.
It's totally
you're right.
different.
You're totally you know, right.
Because just wearing a hat, that's like me, that's like, oh, I got this Paramount hat, but if I went on to Warner Brothers and then I was wearing that Paramount hat, why am I keep going into a Southern accent? This is
I don't
stupid.
Know. Yeah. How many Southerners are working at Paramount or Warner Brothers?
Not that many. There's probably a lot.
I'm
in a small little group at night. I mean, that's like saying, oh, you just walked onto a Universal lot with a Paramount hat.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, in the film industry, everyone works on every studio all the time. You know, it all depends on what your job is. So, yeah, who really cares? But it's like at the same time, this guy just wants to come in for a burger. He's probably getting it to go.
Regardless.
Regardless.
Yeah, he's getting a burger. He's living his life the same way I'm living my life. Yeah. I mean, I wore palm tree shorts here. What's that doing to people who hate palm trees at In-N-Out? That'd be weird. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess, it is the same exact stance as wearing anything else.
This guy is wearing a hat, and you can also wear your Bernie shirt.
I don't have a Bernie shirt.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you had a Bernie shirt or a Hillary shirt,
uh-huh.
Same thing as him wearing that hat. It's just, oh, that's my ideology versus your ideology. But you're allowing his ideology to offend you for no reason other than the fact that it exists.
I mean, I guess you're right.
Because he's not coming over to you, hey, I see your shirt. I want to tell you why you're the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, that has happened.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened, right. But those people are also douchebags. Right. We don't like those people on either side.
Uh-huh.
But he comes in, he wears it, he gets his food, he sits down, maybe has a nice little quiet meal with his family. Nothing's going on. They don't even talk about politics the entire time. He just happens to have a hat because that sets you off. That makes you the worse person than him.
That makes me the worst person?
Yeah, that makes you a worse person than the person wearing it. No,
I
mean,
absolutely. I think you're right. Like,
if you allow it to trigger you, be with him out without him doing or that him or her doing anything other than just wearing a piece of clothing.
All right. One, I don't think I'm the worst.
That's what I meant to say.
No, for sure.
That's what I meant to say.
For sure. I mean, like, here's the thing. I'm not sitting there being triggered. Right, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, that dude's wearing a very political hat.
Well, you're like, oh, I didn't need that in my life today, right now.
I think you're exaggerating a little.
I didn't need that in my headspace that I did not need. Well, sorry, the world's not a safe space.
You're right, the world is not a safe space. But I also am not a big fan of like taking my political views out into the world and just like throwing them at people. And yeah, you're right. He's not throwing.
He's a bumper sticker.
He's wearing a hat. You're right. I'm not a big fan of bumper stickers either. Like political bumper stickers. Not a fan of. Like, I'm
especially
not a fan of
when
a
your person
things.
Loses. And I still see it on.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of weird. Every single time.
Every time I see a Hillary or Bernie sticker, I'm just like, you really? Really?
I once saw a Bush. It wasn't a bumper sticker. It was like a lawn deal. But yeah. I saw it stuck into a bush. It was like a Bush Cheney Bush sign stuck in a bush. And I was just like, that's a little funny.
Maybe it's art.
Maybe, yeah. It's art. It's L.A., so who knows?
Yeah. Well,
how do we get out of that huge political tangent?
I don't know.
We're going to have to edit most of that.
No, I'm going to keep it in because I think it's worth telling everyone that the world's not your safe space. So get over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, guess what? People are going to offend you in everyday life. It all depends on how you take it. If you let every little thing trigger you, you're probably not a good person.
That's really strongly like.
That's what I believe. That's just my opinion.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's this whole concept though of like if, well, how are we on getting offensive?
I don't
like,
know.
It
doesn't matter.
We
got to
turn
right.
back.
Being offensive
turn
is
back
my
now.
Being offensive is my guilty pleasure.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not really.
Mm?
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Say way more offensive than I do.
I do, but does popping people's safe space bubbles, maybe is that a guilty pleasure?
No, I just don't think you should have one because there are none.
I think you
other than
your own
other than your own home and your own personal private property, no safe space.
No safe space.
No safe space.
No safe space?
No safe space.
What if we're playing tag? Is there a safe space then? On the tree. The tree is safe space.
But that's
if you get to the tree, then it's safe space. Is that like politically, is that like the voter booth? Like, no safe space until you get to the voter booth. That's safe space.
I guess. Political tag.
Yeah, political tag.
Voting day tag.
It's like, oh, you got to vote for Bernie now. Why? Because I touched you. Damn it. I wasn't in the safe space. They have designated safe spaces at every college. So you could run there and wait there until it's time to vote and then run to the political space. Safe spaces.
No, I'll laugh at you. As I go about my day, not letting anything affect me.
Here's the thing. That affected you.
I guess it did.
Yeah.
I guess it did. I'm sorry. I got triggered.
You got triggered by me being triggered.
I've been told this by my boss. Not my current boss, but by an old boss I had. They're like, you're really smart, and you do things very well. Like, I really appreciate everything you do on this team. You just can't deal with stupid. He's like, when someone comes in and they just aren't getting it, you have a hard time dealing with it.
I think in anyone's workspace that's that's something that you're going to run into. Like if I'm sitting at work and stupid walks in, like, oh my God, if I have to answer the phone and you need me to read you a menu, I'm a flip.
Exactly.
Like, dude, like, look it up, please.
When I was working for a pizza place, if you just couldn't figure out how to put the toppings on there right or chop something mm-hmm. right after like the fourth time I showed you.
Yeah, you're stupid. You're stupid now.
I got no patience for you.
Hey, you're stupid. You no longer get to cut vegetables. Go mop. I cut the vegetables now. This is what happens when stupid happened. Yeah. I think that's guilty pleasure. Hating stupid is a guilty pleasure. You know you shouldn't do it, Matt.
No, it's a bad impatience trait.
Maybe. But you know part of you loves doing it, because I love shitting on stupid.
No, I don't love doing it because it makes me mad that this person can't do their job, so I have to do it for them.
Maybe for me, because I love when someone, and this is definitely a guilty pleasure, I love when someone sets me off to a point where I'm just like, I've lost it, and now I have to explain to you the stupidity that you're throwing at me.
Like, that's a weird self-righteous thing.
It is a weird self-righteous thing, but that's also a guilty pleasure. Like, I know I shouldn't be doing it. I know that, like, I shouldn't just, like, let myself see red. But sometimes when I see red, like, oh, man, you're going to get it. You're going to get my earful.
I don't like seeing red.
No, I mean, see, there's a difference, right? You don't think of it as guilty pleasure. You think of it as, like, something that is taboo, right?
I don't think of it as taboo. I think of it as something you need to get under control.
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is I like losing control a little bit. I like the loss of like, because it's like, it's being in passion. It's just like, I don't know, there's something that turns me on in the wrong way about it.
I think there are spaces to lose control.
Safe spaces?
No, lose control spaces.
Lose control spaces? Like, you know, closets.
Like a punk show.
Like a punk concert.
In the mosh pit. Okay. I go get all my frustration out there.
Yeah. All right. Fair.
And then I go back into the real world and be fine.
I get my frustration out by making really horrible comments about people behind their back, like two people.
That's terrible.
Oh, it is. It super is. But like sometimes, like when someone, like especially like if at work, and someone just like oh my God, no, the worst one's in my car. If I'm in my car and you're driving like a moron, I'm going to scream profanities in my car about your driving.
Every single person on earth does that.
Oh yeah, but I do that with everything. Like,
the car was the original message board.
Right. No, absolutely. But like if I'm sitting in, like on the balcony of my apartment and someone walks by like being a real jerk asshole and I'm just sitting like, oh, what a you know, and then just like just and have you ever seen the Channel 101 Gazorp Resort Field?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this is like a Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland from like pre Rick and Morty. And they have a bit about like how you can do anything you want on the internet. And so they have a shot of like Garfield walks on screen and Garfield starts calling John just like, you white.
That's in the Rick and Morty episode.
Is that?
Remember in one of the.
They did Gazorp Field, but they did Garfield originally. But now it's Gazorp Field. Yeah. Excuse me, right. So in the original one, Garfield comes in and he's just like. Yeah, and isn't Gazorp Field where he just says a bunch of hateful shit?
Yeah, where he's like, yeah. I hate
yeah, you. Yeah, you white filth. Like whatever he says, yeah. Like Gil's piece of trash.
Yeah, he's just like, calling him a bunch of names. John's just like, Gazorp Field, why are you doing that? Make me my lasagna, you little piece of.
Right. I do that like as a guilty pleasure. I do that bit, but with different like phrasings and different like things to say. It's like me and Will, we're going to an In-N-Out the other day. I do a lot of stuff in and out. And so Will and I were going to In-N-Out the other day, and like just to like do the bit, I was doing the bit and I was like, you white piece of human filth, refuse, garbage can person, just you, and then just like throw profanity in there as much as I want, and like that to me is just like it's a little guilty pleasure. I shouldn't be saying all these things about like the person who made a bad left or about like the person who stood in the corner with the sign asking for money that I was like, oh come on. Come on, go get a job, you white filth piece of, and like I know I shouldn't be doing that. But it tickles me.
Why are they
going to
be white, bro?
I don't know.
I'm triggered.
But like, it just, I get tickled. Yeah. And when I get tickled, I'm just like, oh, this feels nice. And I know I shouldn't.
You're into that tickling stuff?
I'm into that. I'm into getting tickled in the right way. It's like a good
joke.
Have
you seen Tickled?
No, it's Tickled.
It's on HBO.
Okay.
Go watch it.
Is it a comedy thing?
No.
Oh, dope.
It is a documentary about a very sick and twisted man.
All right. I dig it. I dig it. I'll jump in.
Competitive tickling.
Competitive tickling? Have you seen competitive slapping?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
Jesus.
The one where the dude just get knocked out in
one
slap.
Yeah, in the one slap. Jesus.
All right. Well, I realized one of my last guilty pleasures.
Okay. Hit me
we'll,
with
we'll
it.
End on this.
Hit me with it.
When I'm in the car by myself.
Uh-oh.
I will do, instead of singing songs, I'll do them as spoken word like William Shatner.
Okay.
So it's like if you say we go and listen to Miley Cyrus again, you know, part of the I'll be like, hopped on the plane at LAX. My shirt and my cardigan. And like as the song's going, I'll just do it like that.
Just spoken word poetry. Loud.
I'll just do it. Out.
See, I
do spoken word. Yeah,
I like to do weird things like only hitting one syllable of the words, and so I could always be like the first. Sorry, so if it's a Miley Cyrus song, like I'll do like stuff like that, where it's like you, no one can hear me. Sometimes my girlfriend will be in the car, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm singing my own version of the song, where only one syllable of the song exists."
I did that spoken word version once in front of Carly, and she's like, "Are you?" Okay.
See, and now it's a guilty pleasure. It used to just be something weird. You did, and now it's
just
guilty.
Because it's weird. And I knew it from the get-go. I was like, this is just a weird thing I do. No one needs to know about this. It's just, it's for me. It's not hurting anyone. And it's just, honestly, I think it's really funny.
Yeah, no,
it's just
absolutely.
Something
and
I do that I think is funny.
I do it for the fun of it.
It's like, I haven't done it in a while. Now that I thought about it, I'm going to probably start doing it again on the way back.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. Well, I think we should wrap it up.
We absolutely should. I had a song in mind for our closeout, but it just changed because now it's going to be Party in the USA.
All right. Well, let me get the plugs in first.
You go for it.
If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, it's at BTJMOpod, Facebook.com/BTJMOpod, and please email us. I want to hear some of your guys' guilty pleasures. So either hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or email us.
I've never thought of that.
But that's just my... hold on.
I never thought of that. No, let me... hold on. I'm cutting you off. This is me cutting you off. I never thought of that as being weird until you said, I want to hear about your guilty pleasures. Listeners, write in so I can hear about your guilty pleasures.
This is the late night guilty pleasure hour on KNN.
Call in and talk to me about what songs you shouldn't love but totally do.
Sometimes I listen... to death metal in the tub with candles.
It's the juxtaposition of soothing and aggressive. It calms the spirit.
Lady, we've all been there.
All right.
So the email is, but that's just my opinion, bot@gmail.com. And so what was your original song?
The original one was going to be The Climb by Miley Cyrus. It was going to be Miley Cyrus one way or the other. I was going to do it. Thematic music to the end of the podcast. But now that we've referenced it so many times.
It's got to be Party in the USA.
Hop on the plane at LAX in my jeans. You said t-shirts. My jeans and my cardigan.
Jeans.
Yeah, jeans and my cardigan.
Cardigan.
Also, perfect outfit for pretty much any day, except for in California. Why are you wearing a cardigan in the middle of the day? Miley Cyrus, you crazy bitch.
I mean, if it's like December.
Yeah, but the chances, what are the chances of it being December? 1 in 12? Like, come on. Roll a D12 right now. If you hit 12, it's December.
31 out of 365.
Okay. I think that reduces. But I'm not going to do the math.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. We'll see you next week. And remember, you can agree or disagree with us, but that's just our opinion.
Miley.
In my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. cats rocking kicks. She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls on around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see is the letters. I guess I never